It's that part of this reading that 21st century Mike finds quite funny, I think, also a wee bit disturbing. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So we went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Does that not strike you as, wait a minute, poor woman's just out of bed, and already she's making the coffee. Obviously, first century Jerusalem is not as it was, not as it should have been. But that's not what we're thinking about today. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to put your hands up, be honest here. A question that I'm sure many of us think about. Hands up if you think prayer makes a difference. Be honest. Wow. Okay, good. Does prayer really work? And if so, how? The Bible teaches us to pray for all things, and we know that prayer is important. But many still struggle with prayer, maybe because we've not got the answer we're looking for. We pray specifics, don't we? Be with my Aunt Jean, who's having a knee replacement on Tuesday. Our prayers are very specific, very narrow, because we always pray for specifics. Generally speaking, it's a shopping list. And then many struggle with prayer because they don't get the answer they're looking for. Auntie Jean's knee hurts like mad after the operation, and Auntie Jean, sorry she ever went through with it. Oh, but I prayed, Lord, what happened there? You were to be with my Auntie Jean. How many of us haven't been in that situation? I'd like to see that. Don't put your hands up. You know, we need to take time to talk with God. Because these specific two-minute, if that, prayers, I don't think they get us anywhere. I've seen people healed over time with the power of prayer. There was a lady in Thornley Bank who had stomach cancer. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. We met for the prayer meeting, and this lady was always on our prayer list. And a year later, she went to the doctor. She was going to see her oncologist regularly. The oncologist said, the cancer's gone. That was before treatment. Incredible. Now, I can only put that down to God and prayer. I've seen many examples of that. But most of the time, we pray, and it doesn't get us anywhere. We've prayed every Sunday here for an end to war, and yet we still see atrocities every time we turn on the TV. You know, listening, every Sunday we pray for an end to war. What happens? Israel attack Iran. That's an odd one, but there we are. And some people find me, I'll put my hand up here. I find praying in a prayer meeting difficult because I get easily distracted. There I am sitting in a prayer meeting or even at home. And Mary will be praying. And I'll think, okay, God, I'm here, I'm listening. I wonder if God's listening. We're just talking to ourselves, God. Right, okay, concentrate, Mike. And Mary's praying away. I wonder what's in the fridge for dinner. As soon as we've finished this, I want to listen to that album. Oh, Mike, concentrate. In and out of prayer. Loads of stuff going round my head that's unimportant. And that's because I've not prepared myself to pray. I've not taken time to quieten myself, to just sit in silence doing nothing for 2 minutes. I go from a rush of activity, a million of thoughts going round my mind, into prayer, and then it doesn't work. Well, there's a surprise. Can you relate to this? Perhaps we think the idea of a creator of the universe listening to our one prayer among the millions that go up all the time is ridiculous. We believe in prayer, but God has so many prayers to listen to. Maybe he's missed mine. I don't know if that's familiar to you. I think so much of our frustration with prayer has to do with our lack of understanding of what prayer is. And until we've grasped what prayer is, we'll never understand the difference it can make in our lives. Using biblical evidence, I can convince you that prayer is the single most important act in our lives. As Christians, as followers of God, prayer is central to what we are and who we are. Prayer makes us able to say we're the people of God. Why are we the people of God? Because we can speak to our God. Among the many other faiths, we are the only ones, Christians are the only ones, that can speak to their God. We don't have to come bowing and scraping to some invisible God. We can pray. We can talk to our God. What a privilege. But so often we waste that opportunity. We waste that opportunity by our 1 minute specific prayer, our shopping list prayer. You know, I think we can't get our faith right until we get our prayers right. We can't get our faith life right until our prayer life is right. And Jesus understood the importance of prayer, the difference it made. And he prayed all the time. Jesus prayed all the time. Chapter 1, as we heard, records Jesus being tired from all the work he was doing, the healing, just being engulfed by people, which is exhausting. And he took himself away to a quiet place for 40 winks. No, to pray. To pray. Jesus supported his ministry continually by praying. He prayed before he began his ministry. He prayed to refresh himself. He prayed before he chose the disciples. He prayed as he evaluated his ministry. He even prayed when he was dying on the cross. Jesus knew that prayer wasn't optional. He knew that for him to accomplish what his Father wanted from him, he needed to be in constant communication with his Father. Constant communication through prayer. And if Jesus thought it was important to pray, so should we. In Luke 11, Jesus teaches how the disciples are to pray, and he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And we prayed these words this morning. Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is a gift. And Jesus underscored that the key to effective prayer is to pray persistently and habitually. Persistently and habitually. You know, if I go to the gym once a month, do you think it'll do me any good? If I stick to my diet once a week, will it make any difference? Prayer's the same. For prayer to make a difference, it must become a habit. Don't just keep it to a Sunday morning at 10:30, or maybe once a week. It has to become part of our daily ritual, our daily life. Habitual and persistent. Perhaps we think that God didn't hear us, and so we pack in. Persistent and habitual. Jesus teaches the disciples that God always answers prayer. And when we ask, God will answer. Whenever we search, we will find. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. That's all scripture. That's all the truth. And Jesus says this is true for everyone. Everyone who seeks God persistently in prayer will receive an answer because God answers prayer and the power of God through prayer is available to all. We don't always find what we're looking for. We don't always have the door that we want opened. And that's the key, isn't it? God answers prayer, but we often miss this because we're looking for the answer that we want or expect. We try and narrow God down. We try and put him in the box of our specific request. And maybe God has something else in mind. I don't know why young people die. I don't know why we lose our loved ones. I have no idea. I've prayed for people and they've passed away. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what happened there? Well, maybe my prayer wasn't God's will. I don't understand that. I don't try to. Does it disappoint me? Greatly. Does it stop me praying? Thankfully, no. We try and restrict God through the narrowness of our prayers, but God can't be restricted by our narrow view. We miss answered prayer because we're only looking for one outcome, an answer to the question we've asked. And not just any answer. We're looking for an affirmative answer. Jesus said that when we seek God in prayer, he will give us his Holy Spirit. We touched on that last week. And the purpose of God's Spirit is to love, shape, guide, and empower us. This means that prayer is not just putting a request to God, but prayer is the one essential practice that brings us closer to God. It's communication. Prayer isn't just getting something from God. We make a request, we get our answer. It's building a relationship with God. I lost a good friend, a very good friend, last year. Because about 5 or 6 years ago, I took him for granted. He would phone me or text me. And I'd look at my phone again. I'd look at my phone and, all right, I'll get back to him later. I'll get back to him later. And it occurred to me one day, gosh, I haven't heard from so-and-so for a few months. And it was a few months. So I phoned him. No answer. I kept phoning, no answer. So I was through in Edinburgh and I popped in to see him. And he was not happy. I said, I've been trying to phone you. He said, ah, well, you wouldn't manage that. He says, why? Because I didn't give you a new number. I said, why? It's a waste of time. You never answer my calls anyway. I phone you, I text you, I invite you to do things. Never hear a word from you. And I just got sick of it. Well, we achieved the relationship to a point. But John had felt used. He'd felt taken for granted. I think most of all, John had felt unvalued. And so last year, there was an incident where John displayed his feelings and we've never quite recovered. I hope one day that we will reconcile. But it was purely my fault. Relationships need communication. The relationship needs somebody to speak to us and us to speak back. It's like that with our friends, our families. If we don't hear from people, we don't no longer consider them friends after a while. So it is with God. A relationship needs constant communication. And that's called prayer. And that's not just prayer for, can you help my Auntie Jean's knee? And when you're about it, Lord, if you've got a minute, could you stop the war in Ukraine or in Israel or whatever? It's more than that. It's a building of relationship. It's not just a wants list. I'm very aware of the fact that I spoke about my father a couple of weeks ago. My dad and I always described as missing each other. We missed each other. Between my age of nothing to about 12, 13, he wasn't around much. He was around enough, but not much. He was always out, he was always doing this, he was always doing that, and I never really saw much of him. And then between the ages of, 13, 14 on, he desperately, I look back and see how much he tried to build a relationship with me. He wanted to be my pal. By that time, I wasn't really interested. I'm 15, 16, who's interested in being pal with their dad at that age? And subsequently, we never actually got to that point where we were pals, despite his many efforts, and that's a deep regret. It's all about that lack of communication. It damages relationships. Just so with God. So, do we want a deeper relationship with God? Do we want him to have an impact in our lives? Then we must be prepared to pray, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want too. So often we put our wants in front of his. My Auntie Jean's knee. This, that. My car's not very well. Can you help that, Lord? What do you want, Lord? What do you want from me? We're like kids with a cotton. Mum, can I get a biscuit? Mum, can I get this? Dad, can I go to the pictures? Dad, can I? I want. God, what do you want of me? God, we pray, not my will, but thine be done. Well, when can we start that, Lord? When can we start looking to your will and not our own? Let your will be done in my life. And we're ready to surrender to God in prayer. Life becomes more interesting and fulfilling than we could ever have imagined. If we're serious about building a prayerful relationship with God, then having a communication with God, growing closer to him, then I have a simple suggestion for us. If we do what I'm about to suggest, I hope you'll experience that prayer makes a difference in your lives. For the next 7 days, start your day with prayer. During the last hymn, me and Ken are going to come around and give you each a try praying booklet. There's enough for everybody. I said it a couple of weeks with the other booklets. Don't leave it on the seat. Take it home. Have a look through it. It's for 7 days. And it won't take you longer than 5 minutes every day. And there's a little scripture. It's a little illustration. And then after that, you pray. It doesn't tell you what to pray. That's the beauty of this. It's for you to pray what you want. I sincerely hope that what we want is for God's will to be done in our lives. If we just continue with our shopping list, well, our relationship's not going to grow. Lord, I want to get to know you better. I want to know your love. I want a meaningful relationship with you. Then share with God what's on your heart and mind. And it may be trivia, but it's all about building a relationship. He's listening. He wants to hear from us. He loves us. We're his children, each one of us. And before you end your prayer time, pray, Lord, I want to please you and do your will. Whatever it is you want, that's what I want too. I want to fit into your plans. Show me the way. And another thing. If you're given 5 minutes for prayer, to read that and pray, make sure you set aside 6 minutes. Don't put down the saucepan or stop drying the dishes and go straight into your prayer. It won't work. Sit down for a minute. A minute's peace and quiet. Turn the radio off, television off. No distractions. And just sit. A minute. Clear your head and then start. Jesus knew something of the power of submitting to God's will. Perhaps Jesus' most important prayer was the one he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. His capture and crucifixion were very close at hand. Perhaps minutes away. And Jesus was emotional, spiritually exhausted. He knew it was coming. And he was tempted not to go through with God's plan. And he pleaded with God to let this bitter cup of suffering pass from him. But then it was that moment he said the prayer that changed everything. Lord, not my will but yours be done. Lord, not my will but yours be done. Imagine if Jesus hadn't prayed that prayer. He would have escaped the arrest. There'd be no crucifixion. There'd be no resurrection. There'd be no forgiveness from sin. And we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be Christians because there would be no Christ. That prayer is the foundation of everything for us. Lord, not my will but yours be done. As a result, the world was changed. And I think that's what enabled Jesus to follow His God-given mission for our world. His consistent prayer life. Just imagine how close we could become to God. How close we could feel to God if we prayed more. Imagine what God would show us if we prayed more. Just imagine what God could do through each one of us if we prayed more, if we became closer to Him. Imagine the strength and wisdom we could have if we prayed more. Imagine the people we could become, the strength of that people, if we prayed. Imagine the relationships that could be healed if we prayed. And imagine the impact this church could have in outreach to our community if we developed a habit and a persistence in prayer. Does prayer work? Yes, if we submit to God and pray honestly, Lord, let your will be done in our lives. You'll each get a Try Praying booklet. Please, don't just leave it lying about. Use it. 6 minutes of your day. 6 minutes of not watching The Chase or that terrible program with the Penny Falls, whatever that's called. 6 minutes turning off the radio or the TV. It's not much, is it? I don't know how many minutes are in a day. Somebody will know. Oh, Ian, I thought you were going to inform us. You took a breath. He's not even listening to the sermon. He's got his headphones in. Six minutes. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done among each person here and in the life of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.